I want to talk to you. Last 2 weeks ago, by the way, I heard Brother Freimeyer did a tremendous job in Sunday school. Thank you, Brother Mike. He always does. Captain does a great job filling in, just a tremendous preacher, and I'm sure thankful that we have him here. And I heard nothing but glowing reviews on Brother Mike, and I thank Brother Mike for that. But if I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4 with me, please. And we're going to talk about something that's very similar to the doctrine of justification in Romans. And preacher will get into that probably next year. And this is one of the most difficult things, in my personal opinion, that as a Christian tries to grow, and I hope that you're trying to grow as a Christian in your life. I really do. I hope that you're letting the Lord use your life. I hope that you are allowing Him to guide and direct your steps. I hope that you are trying to learn more of Him by getting into His Word and trying to get closer to Him by a prayer life. And those are not easy things. I mean, I know that we preach about these things all the time, and you would think that they would be very easy things to do. But as a Christian, especially in this day and age, it's very difficult to nurture a relationship with the Lord because we refuse to understand that we need to make time for it. I'll say that again. We refuse to understand that we need to make time to have a relationship with your Lord. We take these days that we have and we pack them so full of things that we forget about Christ all throughout the week and hope and pray that our relationship becomes a great fruitful one on Sunday. Please understand this. You are not going to make a relationship with your Lord that means a whole lot just on one day a week. You're not going to do it. And that may be a downer to you today, but understand this. When I talk to you about this next subject, it is one of the most difficult things to come to grips with. It's one of the things that we fought with our entire, and you will still continue to fight with this, but you've got to understand that the Lord knows you, He knows what you need, and He desperately wants you to have a relationship with Him. But to do this, you've got to get over a major, major hurdle that's going to come into your life. Major hurdle. The hardest person in the world to forgive. That's one of the most difficult things. Going from the doctrine of condemnation to the doctrine of justification is a huge, huge hurdle in your life because you can't come to grips with it. I struggle with this every single day. You'll struggle with this every single day, or at least you ought to. You ought to have a hard time understanding that the hardest person to forgive in your life is not one of your family members that did you wrong. Very hard, though. It's hard to forgive family did you wrong, but by the way, can I help you? You're required to. Yes. Nowhere in the Bible will you say, well, if they ask forgiveness, then I'll give it. That's not what it says. That's not what the Bible says. I know it's hard, and I've had people come to me, Brother Dave, you don't understand what they've done. Nowhere in the Scripture will you find that you're supposed to wait until you get a gauge on what they've done. Nowhere in the Scripture will you find a hard thing to forgive and I can't do it. No way. Nowhere will you find it. Until they come to me, I will not go to them. Well, I blew that out of the water 2 weeks ago. In Matthew, it gives it to you both ways. If you've offended somebody, go to them. If they've offended you, go to them. You're not afforded a third way. You're supposed to forgive them. But that's not the hardest person to forgive. Is your dear friend, your best friend, the person that you love and care about, and they did you wrong, and they stabbed you in the back. Is that the hardest person to forgive? Oh, it's difficult. But you ought to forgive them. You ought to have that forgiveness. What if they don't accept it? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to forgive anyhow. Even if they don't accept it, forgive anyhow. I'm sure glad that Christ forgave you anyhow. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not easy. It's difficult to do. It's difficult to come to grips with the fact that if you're a Christian, you have a requirement on your life, and that requirement is to forgive. Not to forget, mind you, to forgive. How about if the preacher did you wrong? The preacher did me wrong. Is that the hardest person to forgive? The preacher, I can't believe the preacher said that, or I can't believe the preacher didn't return my phone call. I can't believe the preacher didn't show up at the hospital. I can't believe the preacher didn't pray for me. I can't believe the preacher didn't shake my hand and remember my name. I can't believe it. Is the preacher the hardest person to forgive? I know sometimes that leadership's going to fail you. You stick around for 15 minutes, I'll fail you. But understand this. It's not because we don't love you. Man, I hope you get a hold of this today. It's not because we don't love you. It's because we messed up. Would you allow the leadership to mess up? Is that something that you can't come to grips with? Is that your leadership is men? As good as your preacher, as much as he loves you, do you realize he's a man? Do you realize that he could mess up on your life, and are you going to tuck tail and run as soon as he messes up? I think we better be very, very careful about that. I'm not saying it's easy to forgive, but I think you ought to be willing to forgive first, amen? But the preacher's not the hardest person. How about a person that did the absolutely unthinkable? Absolutely unthinkable and did it to you. Is it possible to forgive them? They're not the hardest person to forgive. The hardest person to forgive in your life is the one that stares you in the morning every single day. The person that's the hardest one to forgive in your life is the person that can't reach out to you and ask for forgiveness. That person is wrapped up in your flesh. That person is you. Do you know how hard it is to forgive yourself? Now, we're going to study two different things. And the reason it's difficult to forgive yourself, because sometimes you can't believe what you did. Because sometimes you can't believe, if you are who you say you are, Christian, you ought not do those things that you used to do. It's when you come to the realization that you no longer have to forgive yourself, you become a Pharisee. You can't go that road. Because if you come to a spot where you're no longer sinning and no longer doing wrong things, then you're deceiving yourself. Because you're still doing sin and you're still doing wrong things, so you can't go down that road. Can you go down to the road where you give up, preacher, where you say, you know what, I'm a sinner, so I'm just going to fall in sin? Can't go down that road. We got enough Christians that backslide and don't come to church anymore. We got enough Christians that backslide and sin and fall into sin so much that they can't come back in their minds. We got enough Christians, you can't go that road. There's a road that you have to walk as a Christian. And I'm just going to be right up front with you. It's one of the most difficult roads you'll ever have to walk. One of the most difficult tightropes you'll ever have to be on. One of the most difficult paths that you'll ever have to trod is being able to come to grips with you are a saved person and still a sinner. Saved and still a sinner. Being able to sit in the pew and listen to preaching on holiness, realizing that you're not holy. Being able to stay in a Baptist church that preaches on sin and realize that you are one. Realizing that Jesus Christ died and rose again all for you and realizing that you fail him every single day. Do you know that's one of the most hard things to deal with in your life is the simple fact that you are still a sinner? Wouldn't it be great if we could all be like Jimmy Swaggart and never sin after 17 years old? That's this path. That's the path that you believe you're something that you're not. You think higher of yourself than you ought to think. The Bible talks about people like that. You can't go down this way. You can't go down the way where you just say, you know what, Brother Dave, you're right. I'm a sinner. I give up. Can't go down that way because the Lord doesn't want you to give up. Came to grips with this when preacher was teaching in Romans that first couple of years. I was part of the initial Romans class. I watched people get set free from themselves, being able to realize who you are, being able to realize who he is, and combining the two. You know how difficult that is? You may not even realize you're going through some of these things, but do you know that you are? Nobody is exempt from it. If you're saved, you'll have this battle. If you're saved, that's why I love Paul so much, because there's not a whole lot of people in the scriptures that deal with this. There really isn't. If you study the scriptures, there's not a whole lot of people that deal, that are the big names in the scriptures that deal. David's one of them. Oh my goodness, David dealt with this. Read the Psalms. He dealt with himself. I'm so undone. I'm so unclean. Oh Lord, why have you forsaken me? I've done wrong. And yet he still realized that God loves him. Paul, we'll talk about here. Well, we may not talk about him. He's only got 6 minutes. Paul dealt with this. My favorite scripture, oh wretched man that I am. Yes. Paul, oh my goodness, how many wonderful and great and miraculous things did the Lord do through him? I mean, I got to believe that Paul was close to God in his walk. And at the end of that one chapter, he says, oh wretched man that I am. Good night. How can he say that? I want you to turn to Luke with me, and I want to talk about two different things. show you a contrast. And we're not going to get very far today, but I'm okay with that. We can take our time with this because this is something that is, this is something, in my opinion, is one of the greatest things you can learn in your life. You can learn about this sinful nature you have and learn about how great God is. If you can combine those two things and realize this, you'll make your life a lot easier on you. In Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 16, we're going to talk about a word here. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. This is Jesus. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. By the way, how awesome would that be? Just a side note. How awesome would that be when the author of the book would come in to read the book that he authored? Yeah. Good night. How great would that be to have the very man that gave us the perfect, inspired, inerrant, infallible, perfect Word of God. He comes in to read it to you. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." I want to talk to you about a word that's on the one side of this called liberty. That one word that has been given to us, that thing that we can cling to as Christians, it's called liberty. The thing that you have in your life that you have to come to the realization that even though you sin, you're at liberty, because it's not your sin that got you to hell. It's your unbelief that got you to hell. It is that condemnation that the preacher has preached to us already, that you're born into. It's just your sin nature. But the Lord, when you get saved, has given you great liberty. And on the one side of this coin, we see that the Lord has provided something that even though you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. That's the great liberty that has been provided in your salvation, that you cannot lose it. No matter how bad you are, you cannot lose it. No man shall be able to pluck you out of my hand. No man shall be able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. That no man includes you, bucko. There's nothing you can do. I can't even imagine people that teach that you can lose your salvation. It bothers me to the core that they would believe that there's something that they could do to keep it. It bothers me to the core to know that there's people out there that will teach if you keep these sacraments, maybe you'll make it. My friend, you can't live a good enough life. You can't do good enough. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. So you got to come to grips with the fact that you are set at liberty. You are set at liberty, not by you. You are set at liberty because Christ knows who you are. Christ knows who you are. He realizes that you're bruised. He realizes that you are unclean. He realizes that you're not worthy. He realizes that you're a mess. He realizes that you're going to mess up. He knows all those things. And you know what he says to you? I want you to come unto me. I want you to come unto me because I realize, and I died for you. And if you're saved, there's nothing you could ever do to separate you from me. Nothing. There's no thing that can separate you from me. That gives us a... Can anybody say amen? I hope you're happy about that, because I got to be honest with you, there's going to be a day when you're walking streets of gold when you might become a little excited about what you got waiting for you. There's going to be a day when we go to heaven, there's not going to be any more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. Glory to God, no more goodbyes, no more funerals. I don't know what I'm going to do in heaven, preacher. Good Lord have mercy. I'm going to be so excited. You're going to see Pentecostal fits all over heaven. You're going to wish you were louder in church. I believe some of you are going to go up to heaven and be real big-eyed over the noise. I just wish we were a little bit more proper in church. I just wish we were a little bit quieter. I don't know why Brother Dave gets so excited and yells so much. Well, I hope your face stays that way when you get to heaven. Some of the faces I look at out here in the world, and I know it's a morning, but good Lord, smile a little bit. I'm not so bad. I'm not so good, but I'm not so bad. I should preach to you the whole message like this. It's a wonderful liberty that we've been given. It's a great promise that there's nothing you can do to take you away from me. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. But there's another side to this liberty. That's where the vast majority of churches are going today. They're staying with the liberty. They don't know why. Because they will tell you that if you lead a good life, you'll have a chance to go to heaven. I submit to you, you can't lead a good enough life.
Amen.
You can't. I don't care if you're the Pope. You can't. Now, I'm not saying he leads a good life. I don't know anything about the Pope. Anybody named Benedict probably shouldn't have got a job like that. They caught. Did you hear him catch on like in waves? You can't lead a good enough life. But the preaching, the vast majority preacher, I got to believe the vast majority of preaching, maybe even 90% of it is prosperity today. If you lead a good life, the Lord will bless you. If you lead a good life, just put money in these buckets and I'll pray you, blah, blah, blah. That's what's happening today. And that's why their churches are getting filled, because people want to have their ears tickled. That's all they want to hear about is the good side. But there's also a contrast to this. And we're going to go over a couple of these. But look at the great liberty we have. But look at verse 9 in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Well, preacher, what's that mean? That means you can't just do whatever you want to do. And there's more of this, and I'm not done yet, but this is the first step. You've got to consider who's around you. Let me ask you a question. If you see Brother Dave coming out of a bar, what's that going to do for you? I know I'm nobody, but there are people that watch me. There's people that watch me. They look up to me. I don't know why. I know I'm a sinner. I am probably the dirtiest person. I'll tell you that. I'm a sinner. And I don't know why people look, but they do. And there's people that look at you. Your neighbors look at you. When you leave in the morning on Sunday, they look at you, churchgoer. How would they feel if you didn't get up? Now listen, there's Christians in here that are brand new. They're brand new. How about if I had a cussing fit out there in the parking lot to these new Christians? I've got liberty. Brother Carl, I got liberty. It's not going to take away my salvation. I got liberty. I got liberty. That sin's not going to take me out of the Father's hand. I got liberty. I can do whatever I want. But what if I become a stumbling block to them that are weak? Don't let the liberty become something that becomes a stumbling block to you. Don't let the liberty, because I'm going to be real honest with you, you take that liberty and you say that I'm going to do whatever I want to do, you just became weak. You just became small. You just lost some part of what you've been living for. One moment can ruin so much with your liberty. You've got liberty. Do you see the battle here? Are you starting to see the battle? Are you starting to see how hard it is to wake up in the morning and say to yourself, I can't believe I did that, but I'm going to have to forgive myself? That thought that you had, oh, you've never had those thoughts, right? 10 minutes ago, you had that thought, wishing I would close. Those things that you look at, we're inundated with it in this world today. Those processes that you have, I just wish that person would die. You ever had that thought? Oh, you've never said that, right? Praise the Lord. I wish you'd come in whiter garments and robes, Pharisees. You've never had the thought, man, I can't stand that person? Never had that thought, I can't believe that woman's wearing that? You ever had those thoughts? You ever done something that you wish you wouldn't have? You've got liberty. You've got liberty. Preacher, according to what you preached to me first, I can do whatever I want to. From this pulpit, you better not hear preaching that says you can do whatever you want to. You better not watch your preacher do whatever he wants to. Now, wait a minute. Wait, Brother Dave, you told me a minute ago I got liberty. You do have liberty. Not going to do anything until you get into heaven. But what about the ones that are around you? What about the ones that are around you? Well, what about you? Do you think that it's no damage done if you do? I got liberty, brother. I can do whatever I want. I can take that drink of alcohol. That probably stepped on some toes in here right now. Don't you come to me with your social drinking.
Amen.
Don't you come, you're 40 years old. Boy, don't be talking to me like that. Don't you come to me with your social drinking. Wine's a mocker. Strong drink is raging. I've seen more people get killed over that alcohol than just about anything else. I've seen more testimonies go down the tube. I got liberty. I just took a little wine for my stomach's sake. We got Pepto-Bismol now. You got liberty. But if you see me knocking back a Michelob in the parking lot, what are you going to think? Liberty. I've got liberty. But I'll get fired. See, you got to understand something. This is the dichotomy that you've got to come to grips with as a Christian. You've got to live a life. You've got to live a life, not just for you, but for them around you. But while you're living this life, you have to realize you've got liberty, but you are still a sinner. I don't know how we deal with that, brother. I don't know how we deal with this. How in the world can we you thought this was going to be easy. Well, just show me how to forgive myself. Do you know how hard this is? This is the most difficult thing a Christian can live with. How about when you went soul winning and you didn't warn that soul? You know how often I live with that? I'm glad the amen shut up. Do you know how many times I've ignored God telling me to go tell somebody? And I'm a Baptist preacher. You know how many times that God has said, hey, I ignored him. And I have to stare myself in the mirror. I've got liberty. I've got to forgive myself. I've got to be able to come to grips with God loves me. Why? See, it's easy. It's much easier to get saved than to walk a Christian walk. I believe that. You realize that all your sins are forgiven at that moment, and what a relief and burden has been lifted. What a man, the burden is gone for 7 minutes. And then you put another sin on and you realize that, man, I'm still a sinner. See, that's what you've got to come to grips with. The Bible does not teach you that once you get saved, you'll no longer sin. The Bible doesn't teach that, Christian. The Bible teaches you that the Lord saves you, yes. And yes, he's taken away all your sin. It's not going to be laid to your charge. Glory to God. But while you're walking in this old flesh, you've got to combat the fact that you are still a sinner. That old, dead, rotting corpse that preacher will tell you about soon still hangs on you.
Yeah.
How do you live with that? How do we live with that? I've had more people in my counseling sessions because of what they've done that they can't forgive themselves for. Do you know the Lord has already forgiven you for that? Look at Galatians 5. Look at this verse dealing with liberty. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. I will probably finish with this. Dealing with yourself. I wish I could preach this to everybody. Because when Paul says the words to me, I die daily. We'll wrap it up with him, by the way. To know that you're going to go through this may help you. You may be dealing with something right now that you would to God. You would to God, somebody would have told you about this earlier. And we look at each other and say, well, that person sinned, what a dirty person. That person's a bad person. We look at the people in the jail and say, well, you're in here for a purpose. And that's true. But what about your liberty? See, a lot of us in this room deserve to be in jail at one time or another in our life. But by the grace of God. You know how many times I drove drunk when I was a kid? You know how many times I deserved to get pulled over and had the cuff slapped on me? And I'm going to stand up there and look down my nose at a person that's in jail right now? Or you forget yourself sometime. And it's hard to know that you've got this great liberty. And we'll say to ourselves, you Catholics or you Lutherans or you whatever, you lifestyle people that believe that you got to live a great life, I've got great liberty. Here's the great thing. You've got great liberty. Don't use that great liberty as occasion to the flesh. Don't use that great liberty just so you can go out and sin. One of my favorite things that we learned about in school are Catholic indulgences. If you don't know what those are, it's a very awesome thing. I'm very surprised that we don't still have them today. The Catholic indulgences were something you could write a check out to the priest realizing that you're going to sin later on tonight. And that priest would give you a couple of Hail Marys and say, okay, go ahead. $500, I'll get you a night of drinking. That's what it was called, a night of indulgences. It was indulgences. I have to indulge in it. I got to do it. See, you got to understand something. The Lord doesn't need your stinking money.
That's right.
Now listen to me. The Lord doesn't need your stinking money. He needs your obedience.
Amen.
The Lord knows you're a sinner. The Lord knows you're a sinner, but do not use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh where you believe because I'm a Baptist, I don't need any of that. You stupid people that are trying to live a great life. You ought to want to live a great life.
Amen.
You ought to want to use that liberty. You ought to want to show people that there are still people in this old world, Brother Josh, that can lead a good life. There are still humans that realize that Jesus Christ came and died for them to give them this life where no man can pluck them out of my hand. But bless God, I ain't trying to get out either, brother. No man can pluck you out, and I'm not trying to get out. Good Lord have mercy. We say, well, I'll just go ahead and drink a little bit so I can prove how great God is. You dirty, rotten rat. Christ died for you, you dog. We should desire to live a great life. We should desire to be Christian people.
Yeah.
Yes, we're sinners. But where's your desire to lead a holy life?
Amen.
Where's your desire to use that liberty for good? It's amazing. You know what it puts with this? I love it. It puts loving the brethren with this liberty. And I got to thinking about that, Brother Mike. You know why it says that? If you take a moment to occasion to the flesh and use your liberty for self-indulgence, it hurts the brethren. It hurts the brethren. Love one another. Is it going to help this church if preacher and I go out and get drunk tonight? Come on. Will it help the church? It'll hurt you. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt you. Therefore, I've got to try to live my best. I've got to try. Why? Because I love you. Because I love you. Yes, I'm a sinner. I know that. But I love you. And I'm loving myself. Love thy neighbor as thyself works better if you love you too. And when you look in that mirror and realize that you're a dirty, rotten sinner, look in that mirror and say, you know what? I know I am, but I'm trying to do my best. And I forgive you for what you did last night. Or I forgive you for what you're about to do today. I forgive that person in the mirror. That's one of the most difficult things to do. To realize who you are and realize who he is. That's hard. To realize who you are and realize who he is. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to teach on this. Lord, please help me in my life. Help me in my life to realize that, yes, I am a sinner, but I ought to try to do my best to live a holy life. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I ought not use that liberty to occasion to the flesh. Yes, I'm a sinner, and Lord, I know that this is a tightrope that we're walking, but I'm so thankful that underneath that tightrope, you've got a net of your hand that is waiting there to catch anybody that falls off in you. We cannot come out of that hand. Glory to God, let the people realize that we are in a battle today. Yes, we are. And we are going to fail while we're here. But because of what we do here is never going to change our status with you. Lord, help us to realize that we are living in a world that we ought to do our best to let you guide and direct our paths. But even when we take a step off the path, Lord, you're there to direct us back on the path. Lord, let us be willing to forgive ourselves for that. Lord, please be with us today. Anoint my pastor. This may be the only service we get today. And oh God, I want you to anoint the lips of my pastor. Let him preach with your power. Speak through him today because, Lord, we need you. Help us today in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.